Hi, I'm Bex.
And I'm Laura.
And we're here to talk openly and honestly about miscarriage, stillbirth, and all pregnancy loss.
We aim to smash the taboo surrounding these subjects.
And rebuild the topic in a way to support and educate women.
Rather than isolate and shame them.
Welcome
to the worst girl gang
ever.
Hello and welcome to this episode of The Worst Girl Gang Ever.
The season finale.
Finale.
It's also Father's Day. This will be going out on Father's Day. And also, this is going to be the episode nearest our second birthday, isn't it?
Also, actually, on my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. How old am I today?
Seven.
Is that true?
You're 37, yeah.
So I already thought I was 37.
Well, you're not now, but you will be.
Okay.
You're 37, I'm going to be 38 in August. All right, mate, we're going to be 37 together for like two whole months.
Oh, that'll be amazing.
Nice, isn't it? Nice. Yeah. And obviously the book launch. We've got so much going on at the moment, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. In true TWGGE style, there's just a lot of plates spinning.
A lot of fish to fry.
Yeah.
Is that even an expression?
I mean, I think it is. I don't know if it's used in the right context, but...
Who cares? I've got loads of fishes frying.
And I've got loads of plates spinning. Loads of balls in the air.
Juggling.
I think it's in the air.
Why have you got loads of balls in the air though? Because you're juggling.
Yeah, but that's not the phrase. The phrase is you've got loads of balls in the air, right?
No, that's not a phrase.
It is.
Oh, I've just got loads of balls in the air at the moment. Juggling. I'm just juggling with all my balls in the air.
Actually, balls in the air. Yes. Yes. It's a thing.
But you're juggling because why else would you have balls in the air?
No, I mean, I agree. It would be juggling, but that isn't the phrase. So, the book launch.
We've just been chatting about the book launch. Mm. Book launch, not lunch.
It's the book's coming out on the 4th of August.
Yeah.
And we're having a bit of a shindig the night before.
On the 3rd.
Yeah.
At a Pines bookstore in Marylebone in London.
Yeah. Do you think we should extend the invite or maybe have like a few invites for the gang members?
It's 6:30 till 8, isn't it, the party? So we could always go on afterwards somewhere fancy, schmancy.
Yeah. Or just the Wetherspoons.
Or just spoons, yeah. I'm not sure how many spoons there are in Marylebone in London. Let's have an unofficial book launch party.
Yeah. Next week, we're recording the audiobook. And we've just had an email through with a few sort of instructions. And there's a lot of mentions of ad-libbing. So you'll be pleased to know that the audiobook will probably...
Oh, my God, it's going to be about 24 hours long.
There might be a bit of singing.
And we also talked about, they said you're not allowed to wear noisy things. And Laura's like, you have your bloody bangles are a flipping soundtrack to our podcast.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about it.
Yeah, it wouldn't feel right if you didn't jingle jangle. But
I probably shouldn't.
Through fear of having to record 3 days worth of recordings again.
Yeah. Cool.
Hmm. So that's all exciting. And we've just launched our latest 7th pathway to recovery.
Yes, we have. And we've done it. We've sort of revamped it a bit, haven't we? We've done some lovely new things. And it's actually, we're running them separately from each other now. So the pathway to recovery runs. And then the following month, the trying to conceive after loss runs. So if you wanted to sign up for the trying to conceive after loss, this is going out on the 19th of June. Mm. Tomorrow, the 20th of June, is your opportunity to register.
Yeah.
So the trying to conceive after loss, basically the aim of it is that you will meet like-minded people with a shared experience. you will learn how to prepare emotionally and mentally for that trying to conceive after loss journey.
Yeah.
And you will also learn how to nourish and prepare your body physically to conceive.
Oh, it's funny that, considering it's called the trying to conceive. Yeah, you were trying to think of a special word then.
No, I forgot the word. I forgot the word, and in my head was going, don't panic, just slow down, because you can definitely pull this off. And
have you ever wondered why I always talk really slowly? It's because I'm rubbish at finding the words. So if I talk slowly, it doesn't, you know, the gap.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I talk way too fast.
Yeah.
And then someone told me, do you listen to me on double speed on WhatsApp?
Hell no.
Oh, really? Okay.
You sound like one of those crazy hamsters, or no, chipmunks. It's chipmunks, isn't it? That's what you sound like.
Yeah, because someone else said to me, all of my other friends I listen to on double speed, but with you I can't, because I can't understand what you're saying. I was like, oh, soz. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's our fifth trying to conceive course that's starting in July.
Yes.
Oh, I've got to get rid of this cold before next week.
Have you got a cold?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god! Don't let it get worse. Maybe you should isolate.
Maybe. I don't know if I can do that, but
don't go on the Raz this weekend, for goodness sake.
No razzing. Actually, that could be my excuse for not doing a shift at the hospital.
You don't want to catch anything before the big audio book.
Yeah.
Big AB recording.
My immune system is absolutely whacked at the moment.
Because of your current drug regime?
There are so many things that I take that suppress my immune system.
Yes. Let's talk a bit about that. So where are you at the moment? Not location.
Gravesend.
Yeah, where are you in your shit show? Your journey?
Well, we've been trying again for ages.
Yeah.
But we went to see the same consultant privately that I've been seeing on the NHS for a long time. And he did some more tests, which showed some more things. And now I take some more drugs. So it's the same sort of thing, but stronger and more of it. So it's like stuff to dampen my immune system.
And so why have you switched from going on the NHS to privately? Did you have to?
Well, no, I was on the maximum amount of treatment that I could get there. And there are only certain tests that the NHS will pay for. And there are only certain drugs that they will give you. The field of immunology is, I mean, it's not under research, because there's been loads of research. But what's that phrase that they say? Just because there isn't evidence
to support?
Yeah. Doesn't mean that it doesn't work, or I don't know. Some phrase like that.
That you hear that about lots of complementary therapies, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, but that's how medicine progresses, right? Because people have to trial things to see if it works. They're not going to say this works without having tested it on people. So, yeah, this stuff has been used for years. But oh, hey, Rob.
Sorry, Rob's just walked in. We are now recording the podcast.
Don't know what to say. What time I can? Okay.
You see now, flashing his willy.
No,
just his chest hairs.
Why is he asking me that?
Because if that was Scoop, he would do that probably to try and put me off.
No, he has gone. He said he came in and offered me a cup of tea ages ago, and he hasn't.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened.
Oh, rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, immunology. It's the research is still being done, but there's so much success with it, but not enough for the NHS to say, okay, we'll pay for that. So I've gone to see the same guy privately. And yeah, I'm on my first cycle of all of the treatment
now. And how are you feeling about it?
Honestly, actually, I messaged my pal Laura G, Robo Mummy, yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And she asked me the same, like, how do you feel about it? And I was like, I just cannot bring myself to think that it might possibly work. I'm at that point where I'm like, oh, I don't even know why I'm really doing this, why I'm going through the motions, because, you know, what's the chances of it even working? I don't know. Just, although what I believe in the science of it, no. I just, huh?
Do you know what the chances are? Do they say, like, look, this realistically will give you a 60% chance of, or doesn't work like that?
No, they can't, can they? Because even if all the immunology stuff works, the you know, you don't know that you've got a good egg and a good embryo. So I don't know. I'm going through the motions.
How are you feeling emotionally?
I'll be surprised. Fine. Know me. You know.
Yeah,
me.
I do know you, but I know that although you appear like a stone, you're like one of those, you're like a tree ball soft mint. Like got this hard exterior, but on the inside, deep on the inside, there's
deep, that. Very, very deep. No, I'm actually fine. But honestly, I'm a bit sort of like fed up with it. And the thing is, the thing that makes my life a little bit easier now is that most of my friends are done having kids, so those triggers aren't about as much as they were.
Right. Yeah.
But then that makes me think, should I stop? Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I can see that side of that coin flipped. And how do you feel being so immersed in this community? Does that have a negative impact on you sometimes?
I, on the whole, no, I don't think so. But you know what life is like. If you have a few things happen all at once, stuff can get a bit overwhelming. I mean, I left our pregnancy after loss WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
But not because it was particularly upsetting or anything like that. I just knew that it was a sensible thing to do. I was thinking to myself, why am I doing this? I don't actually have to do this.
Yeah.
I can step away from that. There's other people that can handle that and be there. I don't need to be there. Yeah, I just knew that it was a sensible thing to do. And I think having been in this world for a long time, I know what I should do to keep myself afloat, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's really sensible to do it. I think lots of people fall into the trap of being reactive rather than proactive. Mm. And when you spend your life being reactive, which I have done up until recently, which we'll talk about in a minute, but when you spend your life being reactive, it's almost too late. You can't save yourself because the shit has already hit the fan. Whereas if you can be like you've done and be proactive and remove yourself from the WhatsApp groups and remove yourself and unfollow the Instagram person that you, even if you found out someone's pregnant, a celebrity, for example, that you follow on Instagram, unfollow them straight away, because there will be stuff, you know, there's going to be stuff further down the line of scam pictures and this, that and the other before it hurts you, before you see it.
Do you know, I've got a confession to make. I have unfollowed some people on the Girl Gang account.
Who?
I'm not going to say who on here, but there's a few accounts that have either recently started IVF or are pregnant. And I just thought, I don't need to see you every day I log on here. So I unfollowed us.
Mate, you know me. I would never even notice. No. Good.
No. True.
Do you know, sometimes I follow random people, like tattoo artists a lot on Instagram, and I think, I wonder if Laura's going to see this person. Be like, why are we following?
Sometimes I do wonder what account I'm on. Why are we following this one? But I didn't know for ages that your mate was Mummy of Northerners. I thought that she was just someone who followed us. I didn't realize.
Like a little Kino that is always taking piss out of me.
Yeah, it was her wedding that you went to, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's Jen. Yeah, she's my best mate. Jen, Mummy of Normans, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realise. She's going to get loads of new follows now. Probably not, but you know, maybe.
I'm sure she won't mind me saying, but she was one of the people, she had a loss, and she was one of the two people that I contacted after my loss, because as we all know, like, you just need someone who knows.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, yeah, she pulled me through some really dark times.
Oh, she's a gang member then.
Yes, she is. Yeah. Hmm. She's also a ledge. And she's one of the, like, she's actually, she reminds me of you because she doesn't really take any of my bullshit, which is really helpful when you, when you are someone prone to bullshit.
I'm really annoyed that we didn't press record earlier, because when Rob came in, we had 5 minutes of taking anything out of you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
I could see on your face, you were like, this isn't happening, surely.
Well, I kept trying to stand up for myself and you both kept shouting me down with more.
I tell you what, can I tell everyone what we were taking the mickey out of you for? When we're on a Zoom call, just got her head down on the table now. When we're on a Zoom call, I don't know about you guys that are listening, I look at the person that I'm talking to on the screen. Bex doesn't, and I know she doesn't. And I've known, we've been recording together for nearly 2 years. I know that she's looking at herself, but I've never actually mentioned it before. But for some reason, it came up in conversation with Rob. And then, yeah, we just ripped into you really a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't know why I do it. I find it really difficult to look at other people. See, just then, I'm not looking at you. I was looking outside then. I don't know why. But my friends and family have this thing that they call me mirror face, because if I walk past a mirror and catch a glance of myself, my whole face changes.
Mm. Yeah. But it's weird though, isn't it? Because that's, you know, that's not what you look like. I've always found this strange that people, we all do it, I guess we all do to a certain extent, whether it's breathing in, whether it's doing something with our hair or smiling in a certain way, that's not actually what we look like.
Yeah, I remember on our last photo shoot, you were going to send someone photos and I went, oh, don't send that one. It's that I hate that one. I look shit. And you went, that's just what you look like. Wow.
It's true though, isn't it? It's true. You make yourself look good for when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, but that's not what you look like to everyone else in the world. Oh, that brings me on to, we are actually going to do something.
Real downer.
We are going to do something about body positivity, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't say too much on it because nothing's confirmed, but watch this space. We are, we're going to do some, like, I don't know. There's been talk of glittery boobs, painted muffs, all sorts. So,
Yeah, it all came off the back of a photo shoot that we went to on Monday where, yeah, it was great fun with the Liberty lady who came, and she was in our Warrior Hub. She came and did a body confidence thing in our Warrior Hub in May. And she's lovely, isn't she, Jen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was talk about how much you sort of hate yourself and your body after you go through infertility and baby loss, and when your body doesn't do what it's meant to do, and then, you know, you have these postpartum bodies but no baby to show for it and all of that sort of thing, and we thought it would be really good, or she thought it would be a really good idea to have an event surrounding body positivity. So yeah, watch this space. So Bex, it's June, halfway through the year.
I know.
Tell us a bit about the first half of this year for you. There's been some big changes, haven't there?
Big changes. So I was talking earlier about how, you know, being reactive to stuff, and basically I have a real problem with alcohol in terms of, like, and I probably will cry because I usually cry.
That would be unlike you.
I know. But it got to, you know, a point where I can't, when I start drinking, I can't stop. And actually the fun stopped a long time ago for me. And it became sort of compulsion. And the more I found, I started to find life really unmanageable. And it just got to a point where I felt so lost and had so much great stuff going on in my life, so much to be grateful for, and really struggled to find that gratitude without really knowing why. And yeah, it's a really tough thing to get your head around if you don't understand addiction. But I am an alcoholic, and I have now got the help that I needed just before Christmas. I went to my first AA meeting, and it's been amazing. It's been a complete rediscovery into who I am, or a discovery into who I am, because I've never really known. And I've realised that I use alcohol a lot to hide my, to dull my emotions.
Yeah, I think alcohol is much nastier than we think it is, right?
Yeah.
And whether you have an addiction or not, alcohol does, it is a depressant.
Mm.
And although it gives us confidence and makes us, you know, leads us to having a lot of fun, the come down, I don't know if it's when you, as you get older, it gets a lot worse. Yeah, a lot darker. You feel more shit about yourself. And so, I mean, when I first met you, you told me that you didn't drink. And then a few months later, you sort of went AWOL a bit. So the reason I'm mentioning that is because you didn't drink every single day, did you? Which I always thought that's what an alcoholic did.
That's a really, and that's, this is, you know, there's so many parallels that you can draw between our community and the community that is addiction, because you feel like you're the only one. You feel completely embarrassed and ashamed by this problem that you have, by this inability to control your life.
Mm.
And this sort of, it's a really, really dark and frightening place to be in. And as you said, yeah, I didn't drink every day. I've never drunk every day. That's not my problem.
Mm.
And the first time I went to AA a couple of years ago, I was put off because a lot of people say, you know, you've got a chip, say, oh, who here hasn't had a drink for 24 hours? And that's the thing. And it's great because some people are like that, and it's great for them because that 24 hours is a real achievement, and it's, I'm not knocking that at all, but that wasn't my problem.
Yeah.
When I started drinking, I could go weeks, months sober, but when I started drinking, and even if I started drinking and had a glass of wine with dinner, I could still do that. But then the next day I'd do that again. And then the next day, by the end of it, I didn't know if I picked up a drink, I did not know where that drink would take me. It could be 4 days of just complete. And I know that there will be people listening think, but I know that Bex has children and stuff, and my children are always safe because I have that support around me. But it was a horrible place to be. And it was always sort of chasing something that doesn't really exist, like this kind of excitement and joy that doesn't exist anywhere. And you just,
well, I mean, it may exist, but it doesn't exist through alcohol, does it?
No, exactly. Like
you can get the excitement and joy in other places. So tell us what you've done to sort of refocus your mind, and what you've been up to.
Well, so I go to a lot of AA meetings, which are amazing, and you hear the stories. It is brilliant because it makes you feel less alone. And actually, for me, that was the biggest thing. If just someone saying to me, yeah, I feel like that as well, or I have that too. And particularly after I lost our baby was my, because I drank to numb the pain.
Mm.
That was when it really took off. The addiction really, really, you know, it had me on my knees, basically.
Yeah.
And then as a lot of, you know, I have had since a rainbow baby, and I did not find it difficult to give up drinking during pregnancy at all. But after that, you know, it happened again. Thank you so much. I just got my cup of tea, by the way.
Thanks, Rob. Cheers for the tea. Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, and it just got to the point, and I remember in my last few, you know, this, there was no final hurrah for me. It wasn't like I'm gonna give up drinking tomorrow. It was a sort of slow limp into insanity, you know, and not feeling like I could cope with life on life's terms. And I remember the last day sitting in my bed and just thinking, what is the fucking point of me? What is the point? And that's when I did something, and I went to a meeting that night, and I haven't had a drink since. That was the 20th of December last year. I haven't had a drink since, and I haven't felt like that since either, which shows how powerful alcohol is, because it as I said, it brought me to my knees, and it made me doubt my worth, my self-worth, and my abilities as a mum, as a wife, as a friend, as a colleague. And that's really scary, because now nearly six months in, I absolutely know my worth.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm 6 months tomorrow when this goes out, 6 months on the 20th. And I know how much of value what we do, for starters, and how much value I bring. And it's been this last 6 months has been the most exciting 6 months of my life, because everything I've done with gratitude that I'm no longer in that space of darkness, and with excitement, because it's like learning things.
Yeah, and with a clear head, like you've been taking everything in. Yeah. Like the running, the sea swimming, all of the cool sort of distractions and coping mechanisms and self-care stuff.
Yeah.
You've not been under a fog of, you know, alcohol or the come down from it and the
guilt.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Well, thank you as well for putting up with me, you know, through the shit as well, but also for being so lovely when I told you what was going on. You know, it's not many people would have just kind of understood and support, actually been so supportive. But the reason I'm talking about it is because I am nervous talking about this, because it's, you know, it is a big thing, and I feel sort of quite ashamed, and I feel worried that people are going to think less of me, if you see what I mean. But I also think it's incredibly important, because I think the power of identification is huge. And I think that the experience of losing a baby can bring on this absolute overwhelming desire to obliterate, you know, to reach oblivion. And a really easy way to do that is with, particularly when, you know, wine is and gin, those two drinks are so glamorized, and they are so, you know, they're made pink and sparkly and palatable and sugary. So everyone loves them. But the moment you cross that line and become annoying at a party, or you drink in the morning, or, you know, those certain lines that you cross, that you go from being this fun, really great friend, yeah, go out with her, she's such a laugh, to this slightly sad or someone to be avoided, or bad news, or a embarrassing person, and everyone, society switches their viewpoint from yeah let's go drink, let's go be, yeah, this is our culture, we're this amazing having a laugh drinking culture, to fuck off, we don't want to know you.
There's so much pressure to drink, isn't there?
Essentially what I'm saying is, if you are listening to this and you know that there is a problem there, and you know that you're struggling, just drop me a DM. Always off the back of a DM. And I'm thinking about setting up an account just to talk about this exactly, because it's just,
you should.
It's such a subject that obviously it's close to me. It's something that I've been struggling with for years and years and years. And it's something that I am now realizing how many people do struggle with it in silence, because just like what we talk about, because they're so worried about what other people think.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some accounts out there when you look for them, you can find them. But you should totally do that.
Yeah, I will. Watch this space. Well, maybe after this podcast goes out, and then I can point people in the direction of it, and we can have a chat.
A little chin wag.
Yeah. Anyway, what else have we got going on?
Don't know. Anything else?
So much.
It's not exciting to talk about
corporate-y stuff, aren't we? There's so much going on behind the scenes that we're always like busy beavering away at.
We would absolutely love to be able to offer our courses to people via their employers, so that the poor women that are going through it don't have to be out of pocket. If we could run them for free, we would. We want people to get the support, but unfortunately it takes a lot of work, and we got bills to pay, so that's why we have to charge. But we'd much rather charge a big corporate client than these women, and so that's what we're working on.
Yeah, we are working on that, and it's going well. We've got some meetings booked and stuff, but also we would love to, this is not just female employees, this is male employees, partners as well. Mm-hmm. We would love to be, you know, you were saying that you benefit from, or Scoop benefits from your packages, doesn't he? Or the other way around. Are you saying this?
Packages? What do you mean packages?
Not benefit from Scoop's package. No, but some wellness benefits are for you or your partner. They include your partner.
Absolutely. So in the company I used to work for, the perks that you got with the job were for your family. So there's no reason why we can't get into people that employ men as well.
Which potentially means that 50% of all companies will be affected. Is that what we decided? You know me and maths, I'm not very good at it.
I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to sue us if we got it wrong. So we'll just go with that.
Yeah. 50% of people will be affected.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. That's us. That's us in a nutshell, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. We should probably talk a little bit about the fact that it's Father's Day today.
Oh, crumbs, yes.
Presumably, you'll have seen some stuff on our Instagram.
Yeah. Because
we're planning on doing some posts, and we will have had, by the time this comes out, we'll have had our Warrior Hub session with Sam and Emily Wolford, where we are inviting people, members of the Warrior Hub, to bring their fellas to the drop-in sesh. So yeah, hopefully people will have found some information and support on our page and stuff in the lead up till now. But do you guys do anything special on Father's Day to remember the baby that you lost?
No, because Rob dealt with it and thinks of it in a very different way to me. So I'll have a little think about it.
Yeah.
I've planted up our patio garden. So it's looking beautiful. And I think that makes me think about it all the time. And I think because our loss was in May, that's the beginning of that kind of summer flower season. So I spend a lot of time thinking about it then. What about you?
No, I was just going to say that I'm not surprised that you've sorted your garden out, because every time I get a voice note from you, you've just been to the garden centre. No, we don't. Scoop was very much avoidance and distraction. That was his way of coping. Oblivion. He found oblivion a few times, but I think when we didn't have Bertie, Father's Day was really tough.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for him, for me. And, you know, just the general family thing, having to put your game face on and just carry on, like, it was...
That's the big thing of it, isn't it? Is that it's not necessarily the sentiment of the day itself. It's the fact that everyone gets together on that day.
I mean, the fact that people struggled so much over the Jubilee weekend, like the Jubilee has got fuck all to do with anyone having a baby.
Yeah.
But it's the whole history, the family thing, you know, you're going to look back on these photos for years and.
Yeah. And also, like, when you're at the age where, you know, you're at a childbearing age, the chances are that all your friends and a lot of your sort of family members that you've grown up with and you have that real bond with, they're all at that same age. And they're all, chances are, not all of them are having the difficulties and the losses that you're having. So it just, we talked about it the other day, didn't we? It just thrusts in your face what you do not have, that getting together of families. And everyone loves it as well. Oh, the kids are running around and, you know, you see, maybe you watch your parents sort of looking, being proud grandparents and stuff. And even that is a massive kick in the vagina.
It is. Just highlights everything that's.
Did you feel like that with your mum and your brother? Because your brother's had kids before you, didn't he?
Yes. Massively. Still haven't read my book then.
Oh, shit. It's on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Knew you'd get a little book mentioned in there.
Yeah. Did you know I'd written a book?
This is what, until you shut up about it, I'm not going to read it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really, really struggled with that. I'm the eldest of, so my mum's remarried and between us there are 5 kids and I'm the eldest of everyone. And I started trying for a baby sooner. I fell pregnant sooner. And just really, 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 really struggled with other people getting there before me. And not that they got there before me, but because I should have been there. Because by the time my brother was the first one to have a baby, by the time he had her, I just had my 3rd miscarriage and it had been like 3 years trying. So, yeah. I'd taken my mum to that scan. We've spoken about it before. Took my mum to that scan to meet her first grandchild. And then all of a sudden.
So hard.
Yeah. All of a sudden there was this first grandchild, but it wasn't mine. And I wasn't very good at telling people how to or asking people, telling people what I needed from them, or asking them to be a certain way or not say certain things. I just would just laugh it off or shrug my shoulders and get pissed.
Yeah.
Funnily enough. But yeah, family events are really bloody difficult. Yeah. But I wonder if we should mention some ways that, I mean, it's Father's Day today. Now you're listening to this. So presumably if you were going to buy a present or anything like that, you would have done it by now. But maybe for future reference, people might listen to this next Father's Day or something. But what are some ideas that you can think of that people could do to sort of commemorate their baby if they wanted to?
Just, I think you've got to take it from the fella, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
As much as that the Father's Day is, you're going to be grieving as well because it's you are in that space. But perhaps it might just be something like opening a conversation with your partner and saying, you know, I know it's Father's Day and this isn't how we'd want this day to be. And mm-hmm. maybe it's bringing your baby into that conversation and seeing if there's any way that you could chat to your partner about and see if you can understand how they're feeling about the day and whether that leads on to, oh, should we go for a walk later and stop at the pub and have a, you know, just raise a glass or something.
I think
like
you're
that.
Right. It's just the same as it would be for Mother's Day or any of these, you know, due dates, things like that. It's just some sort of acknowledgement of the difficulties. And like you said, just starting that conversation and see where it goes. They might just, my husband Scoop will have just said, yeah, and given me a hug and then not mentioned it again, you know. But some people, I know some of the girls that we chat to, their husbands are a little bit more forthcoming with thoughts and feelings. Mm. And just starting that conversation might lead to more. And like you said, raising a glass, having a cake, sending a card.
Planting some seeds.
Doesn't have to be a massive gesture, does it?
Yeah.
We... Our live that we are recording with Sam and his wife Emily will be saved onto our Warrior Hub. So if you're on there, then do go and have a look at that. You can access that. And other than that, we wish you a gentle day.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't have a gentle day because it's my birthday.
What are you doing for your birthday?
Going out with the fam. I'm going out for dinner on the Saturday night to a supper club around the corner from where I live.
Nice.
Yeah. And then going out just like on a little day trip on the Sunday. It's Father's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spent half my life sharing my birthday with my dad because it's Father's Day.
Oh, I see.
And now with Scoop. Oh. It's okay, I'm not bitter.
No, it doesn't sound bloody hell, mate.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. I can't believe we've come to the end of series 4.
Right? Yeah, that's mad.
That is pretty cray cray. And we've already got a nice little list of people for series 5.
Yeah, we have. We have. We absolutely have.
Yeah, if you've got any ideas or suggestions, do let us know. If it's someone famous, then can you let them know?
Yeah, if you're friends with someone famous that wants to come and talk to us,
I mean, if you know Jessie J, that would be amazing.
Or I was thinking more along the lines of Michelle Obama.
Okay, we're going big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meghan.
Go big or go home. Meghan Markle, yeah.
Yeah, who features in our book. Both Meghan and Michelle feature in our book, don't they?
When you say feature, I mean, like, we've written quotes, don't they?
Could we get sued for saying that they feature?
Yeah, I don't think that they. I'm not sure anyone's expressly got Meghan's like sign off on the. Yeah, she features in our book.
Yeah, maybe we should. I won't say that anywhere else. Don't tell anyone I said that, guys.
Don't tell anyone she said that, and don't buy the book thinking that.
There's Meghan any real input from Meghan and Michelle.
Yeah, she wrote the foreword. We don't have one.
She didn't. No one did.
Yeah. We forgot to ask anyone to do that. We forgot that one.
Oh dear. Never mind. So we'll be taking a little break from the podcast. We actually don't know how long at the moment because we've got so much going on with the going corporate, publishing a book and all of that stuff. So it won't be too long, but probably a couple of months at least.
A couple of months. But if you're new to us, then you've got so much to listen to.
Do you know, this is actually our 100th episode.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Well, because the one that went live on Sunday was the 98th. This one that's going live, Lucy, solo mum by choice, is episode 99. So this therefore must be episode 100.
Well, yeah, I get how that has happened. I just don't know why this is the first time you haven't told me.
Because it only occurred to me.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yes, there's a back catalogue of 99 episodes.
Yeah, enjoy. Bloody joy. Well, enjoy is the wrong word, isn't it?
It's actually enjoy, isn't it?
What?
Not no, I mean enjoy. Like... enjoy.
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 Yeah, enjoy. What, are you saying I'm saying it wrong?
You're saying enjoy.
Enjoy. How do you say it? No one says enjoy.
Oh, yeah, but no one says enjoy either.
Everyone they say says enjoy. Enjoy. No, I was going to say is enjoy is the wrong word because it's not, you know, it's not really enjoyable to listen to us. You're singing. No, to listen to this subject is not enjoyable, is it?
I don't know. I think we make it as enjoyable as it can be.
As what, sorry?
Enjoyable as it can be.
You just changed the way you said it.
Whatever. Anyway, over and out.
Thanks so much for listening.
Keep in contact.
See you on the flip side.
Motherfuckers.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And please, please, when you have a second, rate us, review us, and share us. And let's get this taboo smashed. See you next week.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.